go to Genesis chapter 1.
You can't go back from there.
You get so proud of yourself, I just can't. Yesterday we talked about how many of the current trends in theology are what's called Reconstructionist or Dominion theology, that they believe and teach that man is to have dominion over everything, and the purpose of the church is to take over the government and the whole of American society or the world society so that they can prepare for Jesus' return. And all of it is based on this idea of dominion. And so this is the scripture that they originate from. It's Genesis 1, 28, 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." That's another one. "And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now that sounds pretty good. Dominion is something that sort of innate to the human condition, because every man wants to be his own deity. So you not only want to have dominion over your own life, you want to have dominion over everything. It doesn't take any great theological expertise to appeal to that, which is the basis of all basest of all human emotion, because it's the desire for control. Now, but the problem is they forget the fall. They forget that Adam fell. And we talked about yesterday how that Adam and Eve, they failed the test, and then Christ fulfilled the test. We saw where Satan told Christ in a moment of time, that he showed them all the kingdoms of the world, past, present, and future, and said, "All this is in their power and their glory." And he said, "All this has been delivered over to me, and to whomsoever I will give it." And Christ didn't argue with that. Because at the fall, the dominion of this position that Adam was first created in was given over to another. Now, what happened? What happened? What did Adam lose? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Chapter 18. I'm sorry. Starting in verse 9. "When thou art come in unto the into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of these nations," or these people. "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations... When it says nations, it's the word Am. It doesn't mean like our idea of nations. The word Am means peoples. For these peoples which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times, unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Now, none of you would ever, use charming or charmer, would be charmers or necromancers or wizards or augurs or any of those things, would you? Only Burnett Martin would do that.
Did you say Deuteronomy chapter 12?
No, 18. I may have said 12, but I think I changed it to then go to 18. Now, we have many more things like this that are under the heading of parapsychology, or ESP. We have channeling, we have clairvoyance, hypnotism, teleportation, psychokinesis, astrology, psychometry, etc. They're endless. When I studied yoga for many years, I even went to India with prominent at that time a movie star that we went to tried to find a guru to teach us, to really get us powerfully into yoga. And you can do all kinds of things through discipline. The discipline, for instance, you could concentrate on your finger. And you could watch, you could increase the blood flow to a finger and cause the blood flow to your finger to increase, and you could have almost what appeared to be almost instantaneous healing of a cut. They can do all kinds of wild and wonderful things like that. There's a whole bunch of, let me talk about yoga just a minute. The goal of yoga is union with God. There are six different kinds of yoga studies or areas. There's Raja, which means development through mind control. There's Bhakti, which is the development through love. There's Karma, which is the development through works. There's Jnana, which is development through study and knowledge. There's Tantric, which is physical, mental, and emotional excitement during and through sex. And there's Hatha Yoga, which is what most of the people in America know about. It's the yoga of exercise and the physical body. Now, in all of these disciplines, plus in Taoism and Hindu and almost in Shinto, they all have healings. They all can do extraordinary things. They can all put their hand out and knock down people. They all speak in tongues in one form or another. They all have this one common denominator, and that is they're trying to regain the latent power of the soul that was locked or cursed at the time of the fall. They're trying to re-energize that part of Adam that was cursed. And they have far more a dominion than we could ever dream of in terms of their surroundings and their personal lives. They've even done studies, and there's certain yogas that can cause plants to grow fast by concentrating on them. These are real things. They're not just some stories that you hear. But their common denominator is that from God's perspective, they are all forbidden in what we just read in Deuteronomy 18. You shall not learn to do after these people. Now, fundamentally, what people like Benny Hinn do, and they don't know they're doing it. I'm not saying they just sort of do a bunch of stuff, and all of a sudden they get to success, and then and pretty soon they're charming a whole audience. It's because they put people into this state of being in which you suspend critical judgment. By repetition, you've seen them over and over and over again on television. You know what to expect. You're already in the first stage of hypnosis when you go into the meeting. And so there's all kinds of phenomena that take place in these meetings. Now, some of you used to be seduced by this kind of thing. Didn't we? Move your head, Betty.
We have a question back here.
We have a question in the back. When the first time I ever seen Benny was at a Church on the Rock in Rockwall. It came out there in the early days.
Speak up a little bit.
I said the first time I seen him was at Rockwall, Church on the Rock, in the early days, senior pastor. And, you know, he was doing his Benny stuff, you know, knocking people out. This is when he was blowing on people and chunking his handkerchief and his jacket on and stuff. And, you know,
chunking?
Well, yeah, he was chunking and taking his jacket off.
So they would tump over.
And chunking at people and they would fall over. I think we have some of that footage. But anyway, he called a bunch of us down there by the altar. And, you know, what did he do? I don't know if he was doing his touch thing. He done something anyway. He blew in the microphone, and people were in the seats and down there at the altar. You know, they fell over. I went down there to fall over too. But, you know, nothing happened. The only thing that happened was the momentum of the people that were in front of me, like, knocked me down. So I'm saying, like, well, was that it? I said, I didn't feel nothing.
Where do we go?
But, you know, all these other people, they felt stuff, and, you know, they were crying and stuff. And,
they were right.
In
the general population, about 20% of the people, of the populace, are what's called somnambulists, or have that tendency. And these are the people that, with almost no effort, you can hypnotize. It has nothing to do with intelligence. In fact, it's mostly the most easily hypnotized people are the most intelligent. But so you can take any crowd of people, any random crowd of people, and you'll find about 20% of them will do all of these, they'll exhibit all of these different phenomena. They'll respond to a post-hypnotic suggestion, they'll have positive and negative hallucination, they'll see anything they want to see in the room or that somebody tells them they see. They won't see somebody else that's in the room. There's all kinds of alleged healings because people feel you can cause people to feel euphoric. But you got to hear this: about 20% of the population of the world is subject to that. It doesn't last. And so I don't believe Benny is doing this on purpose. He just sort of accidentally fell into it. And all of a sudden, now he's got all this power, and he has all these people, and he has thousands of people come, and they have the right lighting and the right music and the right, and plus he takes amphetamines to get his anointing from class 4 amphetamines. But the point of it is that it's not something that is, it just because that happens doesn't mean it's of God. And you've got to, I know some of you well enough to know that if you were watching this, you'll say, well, maybe he's got something. At some of your weaker moments, you would say, well, maybe if I would have just held my mouth right, I would have gotten slain in the spirit. Or maybe it's because I'm just too bad and I can't be slain in the spirit. Well, it had nothing to do with that. It has to do with the inherent percentage of the population that is subject to those kinds of things. And every stage hypnotist in the world knows this. As I think most of you know, my hobby from the time I was about 11 years old until very late in life, and just before I became a believer, was hypnosis. And I was a very, very good hypnotist. And we started a company, a doctor and I started a company, and we taught medical hypnosis. And so that's one of the reasons that I know that when I see these things, they've never deceived me, because I, from a spiritual standpoint, because I saw them from just a normal hypnotist guys, and I did it. There's nothing that Benny does that I couldn't do, except wear those silly white suits and stuff. Huh? Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, the Holy Anthony Evangelistic Association. That would sound good, wouldn't it? But whether it's Taoist, Buddhist, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, yoga, every one of them have miracles. Every one of them have healings. Every one of them have these phenomena that are exciting to watch. But for you, you cannot be deceived by it. What's going on, Gary?
I love this. I think this is one of the best things to talk about, because it's true, all these things do work. If they didn't work, people wouldn't have followed them or participated in them or tried to sell them or whatever. And if Christians don't understand it correctly, then and they don't understand our faith. I think
this is right. You know, it doesn't really seem like a bad thing. You know, it's like, you know, here you are, a heavenly person.
But it doesn't last. That's the point. No. You don't understand. You don't. That's the point.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying God didn't heal. Of course He heals, but He doesn't heal on this basis. There is nobody. The gifts and calling of God do not. There. Remember, I've told you so often that if anybody says that they're a prophet, you should run from them. If anybody says they're a healer, you should run from them. Because the gifts, this Holy Spirit cannot be kept. And if you try to use the Holy Spirit, or any other spirit, but you try to keep it, and then dispense, what happens? You've polluted it, because the garment has been touched by the flesh. And we can see that. And once the pollution starts, then God gives them over to their own imaginations. And that's why in these large organizations, they're snake pits. They're the most, it's unconscionable, it's unbelievable, the amount of filth and degradation that exists in these organizations. It makes, you know, Enron look like Ned in the First Reader. I mean, to have this kind of personal behavior, and when you're operating in the name of Christ, and then to justify it, is unconscionable. And if anybody doubts why we do what we do, you're in the wrong place. Because I cannot stand to have these people blaspheme the name of my Father. Any other thoughts? Well,
the thing about these injunctions, the way it hits me is the things that I do. And it's really, it's the only thing that really causes me to be out of the rest is when I try to figure out what's going on. I try to read the signs and come up with a meaning of the signs and then come up with a course of action based on what I have divined of what's going on.
Or divining the future.
Yeah, or I think that I'm not, the thing about holding your head just right or praying just right, I become conscious of myself and I'm not living right, I'm not doing what I should be doing, so I have to make some kind of change or something. I mean, this is what causes me to be not in joy.
Well, but by the same token, you know, I know enough about human psychology to be able to give a speech in which, you know, you'd have a spiritual heart on. You're ready to go out and fight the world. Well, that's the same thing. It's a bloodless religion without the cross. And that's what's so evil about this. It requires a constant influx of energy to keep it going. That's why the same people travel over and over and over to these crusades. They follow them like you know, rock star junkies or groupies. Because it becomes a epinephrine experience. The body in that kind of excitement releases this hormone, epinephrine, and other hormones, which cause you to have a sense of well-being. But the sense of well-being isn't based on the resurrection of Christ. The sense of well-being is based on these combination of circumstances. And what they're doing, literally, is they're eating the flesh of someone else. They're gaining their sustenance from watching or being a part of something else.
So that's similar to like a drug addiction.
Exactly. It just is, it's another form of addiction to self. Now Satan always works through the soul. Remember? God took the dust of the earth and formed it into a man and breathed on that flesh, and that hunk of earth became a living soul. And Eve came out of man. She also then became a living soul. The soul isn't the goal. The soul is just your you-ness. It what makes you you. God doesn't operate through the soul. He operates through the spirit. Now that's a totally different phenomenon. Nothing that didn't proceed from the Father can return to the Father. So the only thing, Christ alone has immortality. The scriptures are clear. And so we cannot be deceived by all of these things, even the things of our own mind. Gary, you're gelling. What's going on? Talk to me.
I'm sending you messages.
I know, but you're behind Betty. I feel it. What's? I mean, you're. You may say what you have to say.
Well, I'm waiting.
Oh.
All these things that are listed here only accrue to the soul. They don't. There's no abandonment whatsoever. So it's all stirring up this Adamic life that's in there.
Right.
And everything that we, you know, talk about is to annihilate self and soul so that the spirit can operate. And the difference is just, it's so remarkable. And yet all these things are so attractive. I mean, here they look bad because they're listed as what you shouldn't do. But if you run into them, they're exciting and they're tasty and you want to do it and they work and you're seduced. And everybody wants to be seduced. And it just...
Well, you don't want to be... You want the fruit of being seduced.
Yeah, it feels good. And so this so clarifies and makes the dividing line between what Christ is about for real as opposed to these
things.
These tricks. But that's why I said a minute ago, it's so important to know that these things really work and they're wonderful, they're lovely, they make you feel like something is happening. Otherwise, they wouldn't be filling the auditorium.
Right. But the problem with it is that afterwards, the feeling of emptiness and loneliness is exacerbated.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's the same as you take a hit of heroin or cocaine or whatever, or crack now, and you get instant excitement. I mean, but what happens afterwards? You're left lower than you were before you came.
Depression. And you got to do it again or find it again.
I know it is, because it has the quickest, the most instantaneous, boom! You know, I was fortunate. I took heroin every day for a month, massive amounts, when I was a kid. And I never got hooked, which is an unbelievable miracle, because heroin addiction is you know, to kick heroin is almost, there's not, it's worse than kicking crack or regular powder cocaine. I mean, there's nothing worse than trying to kick heroin. But the point of it is that all these religions, all these methods of thought, all these drugs, all these things, their goal is to release the soul from bondage. If you weren't in bondage, you wouldn't need feel a need to do this. But the problem is that they release the soul from bondage through various things. It's like yoga and a lot of the Far Eastern religions. You release the soul from bondage through discipline. And that works. But it's not discipline of discipleship. It's discipline towards the ability to totally control. Huh? Yeah.
So you're saying this takes you deeper into self?
Far deeper. It just shows that the spiritual greed or soulish greed is just like natural greed. I mean, it's sad because there's never any contentment. There's never any peace.
I'm now, thinking of that paradox that Jesus said about, he who would seek to save his life will lose it. And if you lose your life for my sake and you save it, and that's like, doesn't make sense to anybody who's involved in any of this or any human.
Right.
What you just said just caused me for the first time to feel a moment of compassion for Benny Hinn.
No, I feel compassion for him all the time.
It must be the worst position in the universe to be the purveyor of.
And he has to keep it going. He has to. Somebody once gave me this analogy about energy. I said, and I'll never forget it. It was their hands were an arm were like this. And they said, you just got to keep that energy going. You got to keep it pumping.
Who did that?
What a wise man
said that. Okay, now we got a measure.
That was from the Aquarian Gospel. That used to be another Brother Buckner's. Huh?
Another fine gospel.
Another fine gospel.
Another
gospel. Some religions try to unite the soul and the spirit and the body. Some try to destroy, and some by strengthening. But how do we know what is from God? We must deal with exclusivity. We must multiply it so that in our mind we expand the tent pegs so that we cannot be deceived. Do you understand what I'm saying? How do you know whether something's from God? That's a really important question. Okay, let's go. Let's go down the line. Let's see if we can understand what I said earlier. We must deal with exclusivity. Is healing an evidence that somebody that the thing is from God? No, because many different aspects of healing come into play. Many sources come into play. Is speaking in tongues an evidence? No, because speaking in tongues is common to all kinds of religions and thought processes. Are miracles? No, because you know, many of these different places have miracles. The only thing that cannot, all of the gifts of the Spirit can be faked. The only thing that cannot be faked is the fruit of the Spirit. Now you can, if your Bible says those are the fruits, plural, then you can fake one or two of them for a while. But the Bible doesn't say fruits, it says fruit of the Spirit. And it's the fruit of the Spirit is the personality of Christ. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, mercy, temperance. One other. There's nine of them. Against such there is no law. In other words, it can't be fake. There's nothing that can stand against it. That's what we must be about, is the fruit of the Spirit. There may be gifts that happen, and there may be things happen, but we must be about confirming the testimony. And we confirm the testimony not by the gifts of the Spirit, we confirm the testimony by the fruit of the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? Now, again, I think all of you probably know, but all I did was for 12 or 13 years was travel across every country of the world. And we'd have to go to the really neat place. We were attached to the embassies. But then we had to set up the monitoring equipment in the worst god-awful remote places there were. And like in the island of Mindanao in the Philippines, we had to set up these monitoring systems that were just the right wavelength from Russia for these various things we were doing. But the problem was, it was in the middle of a headhunter camp. And they prized light-skinned
Norwegians. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had to hire a whole bunch of people from another tribe to protect me. But in those, I mean, you can see, you could go to any animistic society and you'll see Benny Hinn crusades every night. So, again, we must deal with exclusivity. We must know. We must see. And I'm going to stop here because I just thought I'm over time. But we prove whether these are of God, and hold fast to that which is good. And that's what I've done for 30-some years. I've attempted to prove that this is from God and it's not from someplace else. Just because somebody quotes scripture, that doesn't mean it's from God. But you really test it by multiplying, and I'll let you think about that. Amen?
Don't know what that means.
Think about it.
Can you just expand just a little bit more on what you're saying about multiplying?
Well, I'm talking about whatever. Now I want you to think about it. Think about how you've been deceived, and then we'll talk about it tomorrow. If God is willing and the creek don't rise and I'm not dizzy.
We'll get back to the internet.
What?
We get our internet access back.
I don't know what that means.
Since you're dead anymore.
The internet's been down.
No email
after
the internet.
Yesterday.
Oh, the email's back this morning. I've been getting email this morning. Yeah.
Good.
I got about 8 emails while I turned the computer on.
I misspoke again. Deja vu, all of
them. Deja vu, boo. All righty. We're going to spend a few days on this kind of stuff. So. All righty. Anybody else? Anything else? Any other response?
Yeah, when we were talking about the way that you feel after a Benny Hinn concert, it's worse.
Except as far as you believe her, I felt great after illicit sex.
Well,
but that's not on me. Is that off of
me? I think I feel probably better after sex than after a Benny Hinn concert.
How does
Joyce? I've really been to a Benny Hinn concert. Yeah.
What does Joyce Anna feel about it, though?
Yeah.
Take it, big guy,
I
quick.
I love the fact that we're falling in concerts.
Yeah, concerts.
Started by Benny Hinn.
Pete started a concert.
Benny Hinn concert.
That's what they are.